Beautiful morning. Yes, amen. We started a series last week on rest, and one of the points was that rest is found in nearness to Jesus. And so as we sing worship this morning, I really want us to draw near to that, to draw near to Jesus as we sing and as we stand and sing these truths over our lives. So if you're able, please stand with us and join us as we sing to our King. Amen. Amen.
I was lost, but he brought me away. Jesus, thank you so much for freeing us, for freeing me. Would you say that this morning, right where you're at? Just say, thank you for freeing me. We are so grateful that you have done this incredible work to redeem the unredeemable. Yeah, Father, it's no secret. When we look at our lives, we see an unredeemable mess. And we know this, not because we compare ourselves to others, but because we have looked in the mirror. We've looked in the rearview mirror of our life, and we have seen this pile up that we have created. We have spent so many hours and days and seasons of our life painstakingly trying to fix it all. And we have come, all of us have come to the same conclusion that what we have done has been unredeemable except for the cross of Jesus. There you took every mess and you redeemed it. And now we stand here free. What you have set free indeed, and we are so grateful. And we are grateful that we get to stand here today and worship you. And some of us, even as we declare this prayer that we're free, it's a prayer of faith because we're still struggling to own it and walk in it. And my prayer this morning is as we leave, we would leave with more confidence that we are redeemed and free, and that our future steps would be steps full of mercy and grace, and there'd be a power because of what you have done, Jesus, in us. In your name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Welcome to Discovery, everybody. Nobody's excited to be here. It's okay. Listen, I just want you to understand, I told this somebody earlier, I was preparing this morning, and I was sitting on my couch. Jason, I was sitting on my couch. I looked outside, and the sky was blue, and I said to myself, it may only be Jason there this morning. So, anyway, not only Jason, but Chris, what are you doing here, man?
I was going to ask you the same question.
Well, how funny we should be here at the stage at the same time.
Well, I've been here the whole time, so.
Yeah, just chilling like a villain.
Just chilling, yeah.
Yeah, what's going on? Why? You're kind of interrupting my time. I'm just curious here.
I was here first.
Okay, sorry.
So, guys, obviously, this is a tent, and we are going camping. Woo! Yes, bring it up. I love it. Thank you, Jason. Jason's going to be here. He's sharing a tent with me.
Yeah, one of Jason's favorite things to do.
He told me earlier.
Yep.
Yes?
Yeah.
So, guys, July 8th through the 10th at Lake Sammamish State Park. It's 45 minutes away. We are excited. I have a booth out front here that you guys can help get signed up. If you haven't already, do it. It should be a lot of fun. And if you've never camped before, that is okay. There are hotels nearby.
Yeah.
And if you don't want a hotel, we actually have some people that are willing to share some gear as well. So if you have never done it, it's okay. Jesus is there with you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Is there room in your tent for anybody?
No.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely. Yeah, I will see you there. Yeah. All of you.
And thank you. I was afraid he's just going to stay there. So, like, this is going to be awkward today. So. Hey, lots of things are going on. A few things I want to share with you. So one is the camping, sign for camping. Number two, we had a great time together at the Rainiers. Actually, I got stopped in the parking lot, and they said we're not letting anybody else in. And only a handful of people were in the Rainiers in the rain. And so if you were signed up for the Rainiers game and you went or didn't go, guess what? Good news, free tickets that you can use anytime, go together with people in the church or go by yourself. So Bobby, where do they go to get that information? Kids check-in. At Kids check-in, if you had a Rainier's ticket, they told us even if you ate a hot dog, you can get another hot dog. So go Rainier's, by the way. I mean, way to go. So anyway, grab that. Also, I just want to highlight, yesterday we had a bunch of men gather together on a Saturday morning, and they built a fence for someone in our church who really needed it. So would you guys help me by giving a round of applause to a bunch of men? We had some young men there wielding hammers. It was just awesome. So grateful. This church is a church that loves to give back. One of the things, if this is your first time with us, you're going to notice is that we're not going to pass a basket today. But there are some things we would like you to do. So first, we'd like you to fill out a connection card. It's a little blue card in the folder you got when you came in. And there is two boxes on your way out this morning. One says connection and one says offering. So I bring this up now to prepare you. We'd love for you to take a few minutes, fill out your connection card. We're asking you, if you're a guest, don't give any money, okay? If this becomes home and you become part of this family and you put down roots and say, this is going to be my church, we want you then to give as your act of worship, because we think that this is one of the great ways to show your love, devotion, affection, and faith. And so we serve with our hands. We also serve with our resources. So you'll see some people stopping at that giving box. And if you're a guest, again, please just let that blue card be your offering. And if again, in the weeks ahead, you're like, man, this is going to be home, then you can jump in and be a part of the, man, one of the most fun ways to worship, and that is to give back. A couple other things. We have, we're going to be relaunching groups in the fall. And right now, Bobby, who's in charge of groups, he's gathering together anybody who has interest in hosting or leading a group. And so he would like the chance to get to meet you. So Bobby, would raise your hand or stand up. So this is Bobby. You can see him directly, or on your connection card, you can write groups, and Bobby will get in touch with you and let you know a little bit more. Let's see. I got some other stuff on here. Oh, there's a foster care reception today. We had a guest here from Olive Crest last week, but today there's going to be a reception and a luncheon. So, and that's just down the hall?
Cafeteria.
Cafeteria right after the service, correct?
Yep.
Also, all right. What else should I say? Nothing else. I think that's it. Oh, that... She probably appreciated that, so she loved that. I just, yeah, there you go. Hey, let's stand together, and we're going to worship. We're going to sing a couple songs together, and then we're going to get right back into Scripture. You're going to want to have a Bible handy this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 12. So if you don't have a Bible or one available on your phone, there are some Bibles over here on my right or your left. Make sure you sneak over during our time of worship and get a Bible and get one handy. You're also going to want to take some notes. The things we're going to talk about today are going to be incredibly practical in your life. Father God, we are so grateful to gather in this place and gather here on live stream. We are one church worshiping in multiple different spaces. This morning we have come not to get entertained. This is not our little moment of entertainment or Christian entertainment and to punctuate the beginning of the week. This is our moment to come before you humbly. Turn our eyes again to heaven, to place our trust in you, to declare that we are free. We are free from our failures, our sin. We are free from the expectations of others. We are free to now live as a child of the King. And I pray that this morning, as we worship together and as we open your word, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That we wouldn't be conformed to the images and the pressures of the world around us, but we would be transformed as you renew our mind. And then we may prove how we live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that we might prove the good and perfect will of God. Jesus be glorified in this place and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, we pray.
They are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us. Spoken to us, the glory of God. Amen. So it's a pretty simple song, and I know whenever there's a new song, there's a little apprehension, and there's like, oh, I can tune out now. They're doing a new song. But I just want this truth of this song to wash over you this morning. I want this word to take root into your heart and let it just sit. And the fact that God is faithful. And what it is we're just declaring his faithfulness over our life, declaring his faithfulness time and time again, declaring God that God, through Jesus, has made every promise to be yes and amen. Let's sing.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need.
God, we confess. We confess that it's hard for us to rest in your promise. Even if it's a good promise, Lord, we come to you with hesitation and apprehension and doubt. Because we have broken promises, and promises have been broken to us. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would increase our faith this morning. That you would give us faith to trust that your promises are true and steadfast and they stand firm. Give us faith to trust in you once more. And may we remember that your word doesn't return void. May we remember that you are our rock and our portion and our shepherd. And that you see and hear our deepest cry and you know our deepest need. Place where you're not able to rely on God's faithfulness, that's okay. That God can intervene and he can work and he can move. But as we sing this next song, for those of us that have seen God intervene, that has seen God work, can we bolster our faith up a little bit more this morning? Can we sing to our God? Can we declare his faithfulness? Can we sing for those who are maybe not in that place yet?
Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me.
Your promise.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Oh,
pray, I want to just declare this morning that every one of you in this room just standing here is an act of defiance against the world. Just standing here, some of you, maybe you crawled in emotionally. Maybe you stumbled in. But I want you to know that you're standing here in defiance of the world, and you've made a decision today to turn your eyes to heaven. Some of us in here, you have got a raging fire of faith, and some of us in here, you have a smoldering wick. And to be honest, I think everybody in the room has been on both of those spots. And I want you to know that God sees your faithfulness, and He will remain faithful. Our Father, thank you for a few moments to be reminded about your faithfulness. I love what Paul writes in the book of Philippians, that even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. It's the whole character of this covenant relationship that has been played out before us from Scripture from beginning to end. Covenant is so different than a contract. We live in a world of contracts where if we break our side of the contract, somebody on the other side breaks it and punishes us for it. They send us fines. They levy punishments against us. But in a covenant relationship, the other party remains the same, and you have not moved. Some of us in this room, we have made some pretty incredible failures in the last season, or maybe some of us in the last hours. Father, it's not even uncommon for two Christ followers to get in a car on a Sunday morning and head off to worship, and on the way fight. Caustic words spill out of our mouths, and then we come and we sit. Regardless of where we have been and the failures that we have caused or fallen into, you remain faithful. Because there's still another breath in our body, it's a miraculous sign that you're not done in the redemption process. You're not done with me. You're not done shaping and molding and healing and restoring me. You're not done with your church. Right now, you are continuing to multiply your mission of mercy across the globe. You're continuing to work until that angel comes and plants his 2 feet on the corners of the globe and blows his trumpet and brings us all home. You're absolutely not done. You are faithful until the very, very end. So I pray this morning for us, some again who've skipped in and some of us this morning who've stumbled in. My prayer this morning, God, is that you, in your faithfulness, would take your word like a scalpel and cut to the very core of me, of us, and that you'd heal, redeem, and restore. Heal, redeem, and restore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Thank you so much for being here. I want to encourage you to have your Bible out. And as I mentioned before, you can use the Bible on your phone. We use the YouVersion app, and you'll find notes from Discovery on the YouVersion app. So look for that. You're more than welcome to use your phone. If you want a Bible, we have Bibles here, and they're not just for rent, all right? We actually love running out of Bibles, so take a Bible home with you, all right? Shoot, if you got a couple of people you're going to drop it off, you know, at their place on the way home, take them. We'll get more. We know where to find them, okay? So we want you to have a Bible this morning. I want you to have some way to take some notes, so make sure that those things are comfortable and easily accessible. I don't know if you've ever played the game, Can You Imagine Living Here? Anybody? I don't know if it's an official game trademarked, but we play it a lot in our house. And what's odd is we've never had like a family meeting over it, and we've never established any rules about this game, Can You Imagine Living Here? But we just play it all the time. Sometimes we play it in town. Sometimes when we're driving in some of your neighborhoods, we'll be like, Can you imagine living here? But we most often play it when we're taking a road trip. You know, for us, or at least for me, it hits just after I get over the pass on 90. just after I cross that pass and I start coming down to Cleellum, and all of a sudden some houses start showing up in the most amazing places. Or I love getting off 90 and head over towards 97, go through Cleellum and like head up to Leavenworth. There's a little area that we love. It's called Teenaway. Anybody familiar? I say it Teenaway, and I will for the rest of my life. Okay, so, and I know it's not right. Okay, so anyway, so we love driving through there, and we'll start out the day just like, wow, the mountains are amazing, right? The sky's beautiful, the trees are awesome, but we'll be driving our way up like towards Leavenworth, and all of a sudden, one will just capture my attention. I'll be like, wow, everybody, you know, like reach over, shake them. Look at that house. Isn't that an amazing house, like perched up on that hill? Isn't that an amazing house? And then the next person will be like, oh, look to your right. And we'll look at that one. That's even cooler. And we'll do this. We'll just go like, wow, what amazing places. And then eventually someone will say it. Ready? Can you imagine living here, right? One day we were driving, this was years ago, we were going to the Grand Tetons. Anybody? Oh, man. I'm telling you, this is some of the most amazing place on the planet outside of Washington. Okay. So we're driving down through the mountains and these valleys, and it was just like, we would see like house after house, acreage, little ranch after little ranch, acreage, just the most pristine, beautiful places. And just amazed, you know, we're playing that game, can you imagine? And then one thing caught my attention was that I started seeing next to these beautiful houses, these large carports, and in them were parked RVs. And at first I was like, that's odd. And then all of a sudden you start seeing more and more of them. And then I moved from odd to a little humored to eventually I was kind of irate. I'll be honest with you, this is what happened. I'm driving down through all these places and I'm like, what are you guys doing? And I actually pulled the car over and I said, guys, are you as frustrated as me? And the rest of the car is like, what's going on with this weirdo? Like, I was like, this is my question, where would you possibly go? Right? And they're like, we're not tracking here at all. And I'm like, why would you need an RV if you lived here? Like, if you live here, where do you go to vacation? For instance, can you imagine living in Hawaii? Where would you vacation if you lived in Hawaii, right? This is my mental. I'm like, you have the most perfect place on the planet. Why would you need an RV to go to where? What, Renton? Is that what you do? Like, where would you go? So we play this game, can you imagine? It's shifted a little bit in recent years. Like, we kind of now look not just for houses, we look for knobs on tops of hills. Any of you guys do this? I've got a few knobs on some hills that are my knob on my hill. And when we drive by, I think, can you imagine living here? And I can imagine digging up that knob and laying a foundation and building a house and moving in. You know what I'm saying? Do you guys, any of you guys play this game? You're like, oh man, can you imagine? Steve is saying no. Steve's got the perfect place. I'm not going to tell you his address, but here's the thing. We're talking about rest. Our series is called Rest, Good News for the Rushed. And what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about not visiting rest. I don't want to talk about going and putting a tent on a knob on a hill. I want to talk about moving in. I want to talk about living a kind of life that you wake up every morning and see that sunrise. So if you've ever played the game and you've sat and thought, man, if I lived in that house, can you imagine waking up and looking over Commencement Bay from that porch? I want you to start imagining moving in to rest. Not just vacationing, not just having a little reprieve and tasting it. I want you to dream with me and take some steps with me to move into a life of rest, because this is actually what God wants for you. It is God's heartbeat for you, not just to imagine rest, not to occasionally, you know, taste it and experience it. He wants you to live in it. Last week when we started the series, we read a little from Matthew chapter 11. And it's not going to be up on the screen, but I just want to take you back for a moment. I want you to hear what I thought was a provocative declaration from Jesus. and also an incredible invitation. So in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So this, what I call provocative declaration, is Jesus is saying that rest is real. That it's real and you can really experience it in him. And I don't want us to lose sight of that as we take the next step into how, okay? So I want us to remember that Jesus has declared that rest is real. It can be experienced in him. But now, how? How do we move in? How do we dig up the dirt and lay a foundation and build a house? How do we move in and experience this rest? Now, Matthew, who's the biographer of Jesus, and he records this incredible provocative declaration that Jesus gives. Matthew records right after this a confrontation. It's a where the rubber meets the road confrontation between two different worldviews on rest. Now, the first worldview is a really, I would say, the most popular worldview on rest. Now, this popular worldview is held by the Pharisees. You're going to see it in a minute. It's a popular worldview. Now, they live it out radically, okay? So let's not get lost in that. They live it out radically, but they have a popular view of rest. Jesus has a completely different view of it. So I want you to read along with me in Matthew chapter 12. We're going to read this, see this confrontation, but not only are we going to see the confrontation, we're going to learn a lot about how to move in and live this life of rest. Matthew chapter 12, it says, and starting verse 1, it says, "At that time," again, Matthew is recording this, is saying, this is right after Jesus gives this provocative declaration on rest, okay? He says, "Now at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. Now when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath.' And he answered, 'Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So Matthew says we have this great, incredible declaration from Jesus that rest is real. You can experience it in him. And then all of a sudden, boom, we have this conflict, this clash, this rubber meets the road clash between two different worldviews on rest. Now, the Pharisees have worldview one, and that is that rest is something that you can experience occasionally by removing yourself from the chaos of the world. This is the popular view of rest, that for me to experience rest, I need to stop doing anything. Are we tracking? Like, oh man, I need some rest. I need people. People need to stop asking me to do anything, right? I need to have a day off of all my responsibilities, things to do, places to go, things on my plate. Then and only then can I experience rest. Now, Jesus has a completely different perspective of rest. Jesus' perspective is rest is something that you can experience even in the chaos of life, because rest isn't an event. Rest is a relationship. Rest, according to Jesus, is a right relationship with the Father that's reflected in the midst of a very chaotic world. Now, I want you to see this in here because maybe you missed it. On the Sabbath, Jesus gets up and he leads his disciples through a field. This field is a place of labor and work. It's likely in the middle of harvest time. Likely in the 6 days preceding this day, workers have been out laboring in this field, gathering the barley and the wheat, wrapping them in sheaves, getting ready to thresh them. This is a place of work, hard work. Likely, even as Jesus is walking through that field that morning, there are people who have snuck out secretly to work because it's not tradition in their culture to work, but they snuck out because there's money money to be made. There's needs to be fulfilled. There's expectations. There's things going on. The Pharisees are probably already irritated because they're watching their culture go to hell in a handbasket. All right? So I just want you to take note of this. They're not actually walking with Jesus. They're somewhere observing this place of work. They're probably frustrated already. Then they'll watch Jesus and his disciples make their way through this place of work. Now, on top of it, Jesus' disciples, on the Sabbath, which was traditionally a day not only to set aside from work, but a day where you should gather with your friends and family and share a meal together. The disciples are so busy that day that they have not had time to sit down and enjoy a meal. They're so busy and they're so hungry as they walk, they're like, you know what, the best thing we can do is harvest a little as we're walking through this field and eat a little. Maybe they've gathered a little too much, so by the time they get to the edge of the field and the Pharisees are hanging out, they still got stuff in their hands. These guys are hungry, tired, they've been working and moving. And the Pharisees say, hey, you guys are missing out on rest. And Jesus says, no, rest isn't found in the cessation of work. Rest is found in a right relationship with God. Isn't it so odd that the people on the side of the road who aren't doing anything are missing out on the rest, and the people in the middle of the chaos and the busyness on the mission with God are in the middle of rest? This is what Jesus is declaring when he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is declaring that rest isn't found in a place or a thing. It's found in a right relationship with God that's reflected in the chaos of the world around us. I don't know about you, but in 2022, this sounds incredibly appealing. You don't need to raise your hand, but I'm guessing as I look around the room, many of you feel a little chaotic. Many of you feel like there's a lot on your plate. Many of you feel like you're struggling with the work-family balance in life, and you're struggling. Like, how do I experience rest? This pastor up front for the last 2 weeks has been talking about rest is real, but I ain't having any of it. How can you experience it in the midst of a chaotic world? I want us to look a little closely at Matthew chapter 12 as Jesus reveals some practices that will help you and I experience rest even in the midst of chaos. Number one, regularly assess your direction. Regularly check your position and direction in life. Watch this. When Jesus gets confronted by the Pharisees, he says, this is so interesting, he says, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? David entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Now, we're not going to go back through a whole bunch of ancient Jewish traditions around the temple, but let's just make some things real simple here. The temple and gifts given to God were incredibly holy. So holy that when Moses was used by God to initiate the temple rituals and start a priesthood, like the first priest. Anybody remember the first priest? Everybody? Aaron. So Moses commissions the first priest, he's Aaron, and then Aaron's line, his family, his sons. Now, right away, Aaron's sons don't walk through the acts of worship properly, and does anybody know what happens to them? They die. You may remember there's a moment when they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which is this symbolism of God's presence, and some guys stumbled, and a guy next to them was so concerned about the Ark falling that he reaches over and tries to protect him from falling. What happens to him? Anybody? He dies. There's an incredible holiness to the things of God. And David and his guys are hungry. And they go in and they grab the bread that's been given to God and they eat it for lunch. That takes some boldness. Wouldn't you agree? Now, what fuels that boldness for David? Only, hungry. But far more than just being hungry, David has to know something. David has to know that he's walking in the will and purposes of God. David has to know that he is walking in the will and purposes of God. I want to suggest to you this morning that the most important thing for you and your family to experience rest is assessing, are you walking in the will and purposes of God? Because if you're not walking in the will and purposes of God, there's nothing that will give you rest. There's no day, there's no practice, there's no religious activity that you could do that will give you and your family a sense of rest. You must ask the question, am I and are we walking in the will and purposes of God? Colossians chapter 3 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Are you serving human masters, or are you dedicated to the will and purposes of God? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The foundation for that home that we're talking about on the knob of that hill called rest, the foundation of that home is walking in the will and purposes of God. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Are you and your family walking in the will and purposes of God? Second practice for us in 2022, as men and women who've been redeemed by the cross, right? Is we are to build and maintain margin for mercy. Jesus said in verse 7, man, if you had known, he didn't say man, but I think he did. Man, if you had known what these words mean, quote, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent. You know what God longs for you? He longs for you to experience the beauty and rest of giving mercy to others. I want to take you for a minute to the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah is talking about the Sabbath, he's talking about rest, and he's talking about fasting, he's talking about acts of worship. And I want you to hear what he says. He says, is not this the kind of fasting that I've chosen to loose, that I've chosen, that is to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will call for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never, ever fail. Don't you want that? You hear what Isaiah is describing? He's describing that knob on the hill. He's describing that house of rest that you're living in and you're breathing in because you've made margin for mercy in your life. Just to prove this, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been used by God to do something nice for somebody else? I made it really broad, just to catch some of you. Let me get more specific. Have you ever been having a miserable, awful day, And all of a sudden, by God's grace, you had an opportunity by God to do something redemptive in the life of somebody else. Maybe you helped someone get a meal, or you helped someone change their tire, or you helped a neighbor who was in need. Have you ever had a miserable, awful, terrible, no good day, and all of a sudden had an opportunity to help somebody? What happens to your demeanor for the rest of the day? Oh, you feel, thank you. Alicia, was that you? Yeah, you. It changes your entire demeanor. This is what the prophet Isaiah is saying. You want to watch your light rise in the darkness? You want to experience rest? You want to experience restoration? Then build margin in your life for mercy. When you bring rest to another, God unleashes rest in your own souls. Isn't that good? Jesus says, man, you miss it. You guys are over here on the side of the road not doing anything. But we're in the middle of God's mission. We're in the middle of bringing redemption to the entire nation of Israel. Right now, God is bringing rest to our souls. We're living it. We're breathing it. We're experiencing it. We have moved into the knob on the top of this hill. This is where rest is found, by creating margin for mercy. Number three, daily make time for silence. Now, the word silence doesn't show up here in this passage. I'm going to give you that. But I do want to share with you one thing that Jesus says. He says in verse 6, he says, I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. You see, in Pharisees, right now, these men are walking daily in the presence of the Son of God. They are inhaling and breathing the presence of God in their life. It may be hard on their bones. They may be working hard with their hands. But right now, they're just receiving so much. Let me ask you this question. How much are you drinking in daily from the presence of God? In John chapter 4, Jesus has this encounter with this incredible lady who's been through so much in her life. And she's out working. She's drawing water from a well like she does every day of her life. And Jesus says this. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus goes on, he says, everyone who drinks this water, he's talking about the physical water that she's pulling up from the well. He says, everyone who drinks from this, they're going to be thirsty again. Let's pause for a moment. All the stuff that you're working so hard for all day long, it's good stuff. But it's going to leave you wanting. Even if you get more than you possibly imagined getting yesterday, you're still going to be wanting. And Jesus says, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You have the same access. You have the same access on 8-hour days. You have the same access on 10-hour days. You have the same access on 14-hour days. You have the same access to drinking in and experiencing the presence of the living God. Just take time for silence. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The most important moment in my day are the few moments I spend in silence every morning, drinking deeply with the presence of God. I open his word every morning, and I just drink deeply, and I sit in silence. It's been so precious to me that in recent years, I've now practiced multiple times through the day. I even have some alarms set on my phone so that when things are crazy and chaotic, the nasty, awful, ugliest alarm possible goes off in the middle of meetings. Like, what's that? Oh, don't worry about it. I'll get to that. Snooze! 7 more minutes. Okay, I need that. And then I'll pull away, and I just need a few minutes of silence because I need living water, and so do you. Let me encourage you in 2022, every day create some space for silence in your life. Number four. weakly say no to trust. To trust. Verse 8 says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So I want to be real careful here. Jesus, when he came, he died on the cross and he rose on the third day. He set us free from sin, from the world and its expectations, and he also set us free from the law. No longer are you and I under the obligation of the law. In other words, we don't have to keep the old law in some sort of attempt to get God to be happy with us. So this Sabbath idea is old law. But just because it is old law doesn't mean that no longer do you and I need, crave, and ought to experience time every week alone with him. Just throwing out the idea of Sabbath would be like me saying, hey, honey, I told you I loved you on the day I married you, so I'm good. Or we dated so we could get married. Why do we need to date anymore? So, you know, technically we don't need to date anymore, but let me tell you my heart. I want to date my wife until I'm dead. Why? Because I love her deeply and I want to know her more and more intimately every day of my life. And just because you've been set free from the law doesn't mean that you've been set free from your need to be intimate with the Father, to say no to the pressures, the expectations, and the needs around you. To be still and to develop trust in the Father alone. I want to take you back just for a moment as we close to the beginning of this idea of the Sabbath. I want to take you back for a moment. I want you to hear how they practiced it. This is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. It says, each morning everyone gathered as much as they needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. This is talking about manna. People were wandering around in the wilderness, and they were hungry, and so God provided them manna every day. It was interesting. He didn't provide them, like, Big Macs on their plates. He didn't provide them, like, Popeye's chicken at their doorstep, right? He provided manna, which is a gift from God, that they had to go work to get every day, and gather and bring it home and then prepare something for their families. Every day, God provided them good work. So each morning, they would gather as much as they needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. 2 omers for each person. The leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. And he said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever's left and keep it until the morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded. And it didn't stink. This is great. This is good stuff. Didn't stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You'll not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people, they went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That's why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone's to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out, so the people rested on the seventh. God calls you and I to set aside a time every week to say no to chaos and busyness and opportunity, to say yes to trust. God, I trust you. I trust that there's enough. I trust that you're enough. I trust you. And so I'm going to choose to rest. Now, Christ followers for the last 2,000 years, you might not even realize this, but today you are actually saying something very theological. Because you see, prior to 2,000 years ago, people gathered on Saturday. They were stuck to the Sabbath. There was a religious activity, but because Jesus rose on a Sunday and set us free from sin and death and also from the law. Christ's followers have said we are no longer shackled to a particular day or religious festival, but we will by faith gather on the first day of the week, on Sunday, and we will gather on that day and we will declare our faith and trust in Jesus, and that is enough for us. And so for 2,000 years, men and women have said we don't trust in a day or a religious activity, we trust in Jesus alone. By you gathering here on Sunday, you are standing with the faith of men and women for the last 2,000 years to say your faith is in Christ alone. But let me encourage you, you've still not lost the need to say no to things, to slow down and build your trust in God. May I encourage you, if today is a day that you've got to work, pick Monday. If Monday's a day you got to work, pick Tuesday. Pick some day in the week for you and your family to rest and say no. It is God's heart and desire for you and for me to not just talk about, to drive past and imagine, but to build a home on the top of that hill called rest, to move in and live there. And you can experience rest. It is God's design for you. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so very much for a few minutes this morning. We do live in a world that there's a lot of pressures, and in no way are you calling us to return to old standards of trying to appease a far-off God. For that distance that we feel and have experienced, you have bridged by sending your Son Jesus. Rest that our souls long for is found only in you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, Jesus, you said. And then you said, I will give you rest. My prayer for your church is that we would begin to walk that out and live it out, not under obligation, not under some sort of superstition. We would live it out because we are a redeemed people. We've been set free from the world and its expectations and pressures. We are now yours, and I pray in Jesus' name that we would live it out as a different people. May we live rest in the midst of a chaotic world. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together a closing song. And we're going to have a couple people up here in front. If you would like some prayer, let me encourage you to come forward and pray. I think Charles will be here, and Bobby. I think Tad might be down here as well. I don't know if Jamie is here today, but we'll have some people down here if you'd like prayer. They will also be available after the service if you'd like to pray with someone afterwards. If you feel comfortable, stand with us.
Mm-hmm.
I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you're pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is well fit, and my burden is light. Father, we are a people who have been redeemed by the work of your Son Jesus on the cross. And we live in a world where you've left us here to be a stark contrast to the rhythm and pattern, the posture of this world. My prayer is that we might walk in rest this week. We might walk in such a rest that just only points to the work of God in the life of fallible people. And may we get an opportunity to boldly declare that it is not us. It's not our wisdom, our habits. It's not our hard work. It is only the work of Christ in us. And may we point friends, family members, co-workers, may we point them to the rest that is found only in your Son, Jesus. May it be only for thee. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Today you said something. You know that. Don't miss it. Today you stood in defiance of the world, even for a couple of hours, and you said that there's something bigger and greater. You did it. Now I pray that you give glory to God in everything that you do this day and the days after. Let him continue to do what he's begun in you. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. Next week, we're going to be meeting again. There's going to be a family worship service. We're going to involve our kids in the service next week, so you're not going to miss it. So God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.